Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
There was such a cultural antipathy to what we were about that it really set the standard for being a pain in the ass.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I'm Patrick Foster, and I want to welcome you to another episode of our music podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate all who listen. It is getting to be that time of the year, folks. It is mid-March, and the madness is heating up. And I know you're going to be filling out your basketball brackets here this week, but I don't want you to forget about our American Band Madness bracket, which is also in full swing and designed to coincide with the climax of the basketball tournaments. We're going to have our American Band Madness winner. So make sure you go to Facebook or Twitter at Suburbs Pod. Vote on that day's matchup. It's a straight knockout tournament. Check back the next day to see who came out on top. And then make sure you vote every day until we whittle it down to number one. And we've been periodically posting some update shows too as well. So make sure you check those out in your podcast feed. They should come right to your podcast listening device. So we appreciate everybody who's been participating in that. Today, want to highlight a album that's one of my favorites. And I just realized because I was digging into some birthdays on my radio show, which is another thing I should quickly mention, is that we have a radio show that goes with this podcast. It's called Suburbs Radio. All you have to do is go to suburbsradio.com or on your little smart computer, pocket phone computer that you carry around with you, go to find the app for Rockin' the Suburbs Radio, and you can listen to it anytime there. We have live shows that take place pretty much every day, and we've got replays, and we've got music that plays 24/7, and all kinds of good stuff. It's a great radio station. As I was saying, I was doing some preparation for my program, which incidentally airs every Monday and Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So make sure to check that out when you get a chance. It was recently John Cale's birthday, John Cale from the Velvet Underground, and was looking through his catalog and realized that one of his albums, one of my favorites, probably my top two or three favorite of his studio solo albums, came out 50 years ago. The record is called Paris 1919, and it was released in very late February of 1973. It is his third studio album after the mostly instrumental The Academy in Peril, which came out in 1972, and his debut Vintage Violence from 1970, which is kind of tossed off but has some nice moments here and there. But it wasn't really until Paris 1919 that he reached a kind of peak in his solo career. It's by far the most accomplished work he had done in his solo career up to that point. It's hailed as being a very gentle, almost baroque chamber pop kind of record, and it's really fascinating. Lyrically, it touches on all sorts of historical events and is named after the 1919 peace conference that took place in Paris, which established new boundaries for a lot of parts of Europe, as well as the assignment of unilateral war reparations from the First World War. And many say that this event allowed the rise of the Third Reich and the emergence of World War II. And Cale himself once said he described the record as an example of one of the nicest ways of saying something ugly. It touches on topics as diverse as Dylan Thomas's poetry, childhood, Shakespeare, the writer Graham Greene, all kinds of things about Europe. And it's a 9-song record. It's incredibly beautiful and has a way of touching you and getting into you that's unlike many, many records that I know. It's one of those records you can listen to in the early morning. You can listen to it on your headphones in the afternoon when you're taking a walk or driving in your car. You can listen to it very, very late at night. It fits all kinds of different moods, and it's almost like looking at a sky, a partly cloudy sky or partly sunny, however you want to look at it, where all the shapes are just changing and drifting, and yet all goes back to this historical event that took place in 1919. Thank you.
standing there but never ever talking sense. Just a visitor, you see, so much wanting to be seen. She'd open up the doors and maybe carry us away. It's the customary thing to say or do to a disappointed proud man in his grief. And on Fridays she'd be there, but on Mondays not at all. Just casually appearing from the clock across the hall. Here it goes, la 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 la. Here it goes, la 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 la. I'm a church and I've come to claim you with my iron drum. La 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 la.
That was the title track from the record. It is the first song on side two on the vinyl. One thing that's interesting about this record, too, is that when it originally came out, did not list any of the musicians that played on the record. And it wasn't until a 2006 deluxe reissue came out that included bonus tracks and alternate versions and, you know, stuff like that, that we found out who played on this record. And it was actually two members of Little Feat, Lowell George and Richie Haywood, who play on the record, which I found to be pretty fascinating. And it does have a kind of laid-back, easy, groovy kind of a feeling that Little Feat sometimes evoked as well, yet mixed with, as I said, like a chamber pop orchestration kind of a feel, because the UCLA Orchestra also plays on this record. And the only thing on the record that I have, and I somehow came across a German copy that I bought years ago, I'm not sure how I came across it, but Chris Thomas is credited as the producer of the record, famous Chris Thomas. He produced, of course, the Pretenders and the Sex Pistols and tons of people, Roxy Music and all kinds of stuff. And the only person credited is Jay Druckmann Esquire, and he's credited as the orchestra manager. And apparently it turns out he was maybe the guy that got the UCLA Symphony Orchestra in there, did all the behind the scenes work. But it's pretty amazing. And one thing that's really interesting on the topic of the reissue is that a friend of this podcast, Andy Zaks, was the producer, oversaw the reissue production. And if you go back to Suburbs Pod episodes 654, 655, and 656, you will hear us, me and Jim, talking to Andy Zaks about his reissue of the Woodstock music. And that's a fascinating conversation if you missed it the first time around. So go to suburbspod.com and search for Andy Zaks, and those three episodes will come up. That's fun listening. So yeah, that's kind of the groove you get. So you get a little bit of that Little Feat backing with a little bit of UCLA Orchestra and kind of the classical background that Cale's always had in him. And you get a wonderful mix of all kinds of different things. I mean, the record starts off with Child's Christmas in Wales that evokes some Dylan Thomas poetry and Dylan Thomas lines. It's got a great next song called Hanky Panky Know How that sounds like it could have come off the debut album a little bit, but it's much more assured and well-crafted. Found a review in the Spin Alternative Record Guide, which I think has been talked about on this podcast. They summed it up really well in here. I'm going to quote from them now. Perhaps the fact that he had been studying music formally at the same time he learned English in grade school, his mother spoke Welsh, helped Cale understand music as a language that can not only support words, but can trigger its own associations deep within the listener's consciousness. This is The Secret of Paris 1919, an album full of arcane and nonsensical lyrics and bouncy tunes, played with relaxed authority by a band mostly made up of members of Little Feat. Yet despite the casual air, songs like Child's Christmas in Wales, Graham Greene, Half Past France, and the gem-like Andalusia create an intricate mood of nostalgia, quiet pathos, memory, and longing.
Andalusia, when can I see you? When it is snowing out, the John wants you louder and softer, closer and nearer than again, needing you, taking you.
And there is the beautiful Andalusia from John Cale's 1919. I find it to be an endlessly fascinating record. It's one I've had probably for, gosh, more than 20 years now, maybe closer to 30 years, and just have never gotten tired of it. Every time I think of it or see it or see it mentioned somewhere, I want to listen to it right then, and always go back to it with ears that are never tired and always seem to find a nice touch. And then it's also a beautiful place to get into. It does evoke all those emotions that I was just quoting, and it centers you in some ways to kind of think. It opens up your mind and allows you to think on all these kind of topics because it touches on a certain nerve or a certain vein. And I just find it to be endlessly beautiful. And I just wanted to bring it to the attention of our community, because if you haven't heard it or you're not aware of it, please go and give it a listen. I think you'll really, really, really like it. It's very, very easy to get into. It also serves as a wonderful starting point for Cale's music. It really does. And just 9 songs, and it's available on all the streamings, and there are also vinyl copies and copies of the CD reissue that seem to be pretty plentiful on places like Discogs, and so I'm sure you can pick it up at a used record store or order it somewhere fairly inexpensively. And just wanted to take a minute to share that with everybody if you weren't aware. So I hope it brings you the same amount of pleasure that it's brought me musically, and it's one of those tent poles, I would say, of my collection over on the seashelf over there. All right. Thanks for listening to that little reminiscence on John Cale. If you love this record and you have anything you want to say, please get in touch with us. You can send us an email, rock@suburbspod.com. You can phone us up on our suburban party line, 612-440. And you can stick your head out the window and yell. And if you do that long enough and loud enough, somebody will come and see what it is you want. Okay, and that's going to do it for today, folks. I am Patrick Foster, and on behalf of my co-founder, co-host, and great friend, Jim Linehan, I want to tell you that we are going to go out with my favorite track from the John Cale Paris 1919 album. It is called Graham Greene, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
You're having tea with Graham Greene in the colored costume of your choice, and you'll be thought in high esteem if you're seen in between. Stiffly holding umbrellas, catching the fellas, making the toast to the civil servant Carruthers, making the worse than most. You're making small talk now with the queen and the elegant ladies in waiting. You're very nervous, they cannot tell. Pretty well, they can tell. So save yourself for the hounds of hell. They can have you all to themselves, since the fashion now is to give away.
chance. It must all be like second nature, cutting down the people where they stand. According to the latest score, Mr. Enoch Powell is a falling star.
Quiet Pathos, Memory and Longing.